Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me and the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:13. Welcome to Sound Words with Paul Molnar, pastor of Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It's Friday, February the 18th, and time to launch our Friday question and answer program. Stay with us for Sound Words with Paul Molnar. Hello, I'm Tom Booth. Welcome to our Friday broadcast of Sound Words with Paul Molnar. You know, Fridays are special days for us when we take a break from the teaching and take some time to answer your questions. And before we begin today, a reminder that if you have a question related to theology, the church, or something you've heard on our daily broadcast, we would love to hear from you. There are several ways you can get us your questions. You can call our toll-free question line at 855-855-WORD. That's 855-855-WORD. You can send an email to paul@soundwordsradio.com. That's paul@soundwordsradio.com. Or you can write us at Sound Words Radio, P.O. Box 30321, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27130. And we'll do our best to answer your question on a future Friday broadcast. Well, we have a couple of good questions to begin our first Friday Q&A program. And Paul, our first one is from a listener in Greensboro. Charles writes, I heard a TV preacher say that believers have the power of binding and loosing based on Matthew 16:19. He said that we can bind the spirit of poverty and loose the spirit of financial blessing. Is this true?
Some of you may have heard General George Patton's three principles of war: audacity, audacity, and audacity. In seminary, we were taught a similar three principles of biblical interpretation: context, context, context. If you want to understand what the Bible is actually saying, you must pay attention to the context. This passage that's mentioned in the question is a great example of that. Now, there's two places back to back in Matthew's gospel where this concept of binding and loosing is mentioned. The first is Matthew chapter 16. Contextually, Jesus is talking to his disciples here. The Pharisees and the Sadducees have come to him and they've demanded a sign. And so Jesus then turns from them to his own disciples to warn them not to be like those Pharisees and Sadducees, but to be his disciples, which is a different category of person. Jesus asks his disciples who the crowds think that he is. This is in Matthew 16:13. And the disciples as a group throw out some suggestions, some various things that they've heard people say. So John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or a prophet. But then Peter speaks on behalf of the group when Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And so Peter speaks up for them and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says this is the right answer. He's excited that Peter has given this answer on behalf of the disciples. And so he says that on this answer, on Peter the confessing apostle, Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Then he says, I will give you, the confessing apostles, the disciples there, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose shall be loosed in heaven. We got to go forward two chapters to encounter those phrases again, to Matthew chapter 18. Now again, Jesus here is talking with his own disciples. They've asked him who is the greatest, and he's warned them against that kind of thinking, and he's warned them against being sinful. And then he tells the parable of the lost sheep and how important it will be for the leaders of his church to be willing to go after the lost one and not be content with the 99 who are found. Then in Matthew 18:15, Jesus sets forth a pattern for his church to follow in the event of one Christian sinning against another. He says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he, the sinner, refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Jesus is giving a hard teaching here, but it's clear what he's saying. If a believer, a Christian, is confronted with their sin and refuses to repent of that sin, not just by the offended party, but is confronted by witnesses and then is confronted by the church, and refuses to repent of that sin, they must be removed from the church. That's that language of being a Gentile or a tax collector. Then in Matthew 18:18, Jesus repeats that phrase, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Context matters. Both times when Jesus is using this expression, right here in Matthew's gospel, he's talking about the exact same thing. He's talking about the way his church should work administratively in terms of having people inside the church in good standing or removing people from inside the church, what we call excommunication. Now, we need to think about why this is. Jesus established his church to paint a visible picture of a heavenly reality. Simply put, the church on earth exists to paint a picture for human beings of what the heavenly kingdom and the new heavens and the new earth will be like. Everyone in the new heavens and the new earth will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it should be with everyone in the church on earth. The church in heaven and the new heavens and the new earth exists for the pure worship of God. So it should be on earth as well in the visible church. If the church has the responsibility of painting a truthful picture for the world of that heavenly kingdom, then that says quite a bit about who is allowed to be part of the church. The church is not for perfect people. Jesus said he didn't come for the healthy, but for the sick. They're in need of a physician. But what the church is for is the repentant. Those who confess their sins and turn from their sins, casting themselves on the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus teaches in both Matthew 16, Matthew 18, and all over the New Testament is that the church cannot tolerate the unrepentant. You want to know what the difference is between a believer and an unbeliever? It's not whether or not they sin. Everybody sins. It's whether or not they repent. So the question was this. When Jesus talks about binding and loosing, is he giving that authority to Christians to bind and loose things such as poverty or sickness, and to loose prosperity and health? The answer from the context is no. Jesus is not giving the power to bind and to loose to individual Christians. He's giving that power to his church, and he's being very clear about what that power means. The church begins by binding and loosing things, the same way Scripture does, and we do it according to the Scriptures. If the Scriptures say that something is sinful, we bind Christians from that behavior. If the Scriptures say that something is permitted or permissible, then we allow Christians to participate in that behavior, unhindered or unfettered by the church. It might make us nervous that the church has that responsibility because we're always afraid of people making wrong judgments or our rights being taken away from us, but that doesn't change the fact that Jesus gives this responsibility to the church. The church must be very careful in its exercise of binding and loosing, of prohibiting, restricting, or allowing things, but that responsibility exists nonetheless. Ultimately, though, this binding and loosing is about people. The church has a responsibility to make sure that the picture it paints on earth reflects the picture of the kingdom of heaven. And this is done by making sure that those who are in good standing with the Church of Jesus Christ on earth demonstrate repentance for their sin and not stubbornness and hard-headedness. If a person calls themselves a Christian and yet when confronted with sin refuses to repent, Jesus says the church is to have nothing to do with that person. Not only must the church protect the purity of the church itself by removing them, but the church also needs to speak honestly to that person. People shouldn't be allowed to think that they're in good standing with the Lord Jesus Christ apart from repentance. And yet if the church pretends that they're in good standing with the church, it makes sense that a person would think they're in good standing with Jesus. This is why Jesus talks about the correlation between what the church binds on earth and what is actually bound in heaven.
Thanks, Paul. Our next question is in the same vein. A listener asks, how do I respond to a friend who's trying to push the health and wealth gospel on me? I don't want to hurt her feelings, but I don't think that's what the Bible teaches.
I'm glad we got this question. It gives me a chance to expand on the previous answer a little bit and to look more carefully at the issue of poverty or binding a spirit of poverty or releasing a spirit of prosperity. We know that the binding and the loosing has nothing to do with this, but what about the prosperity gospel in general? Well, the short answer is, you simply can't find it anywhere in the Bible. And in fact, you find just the opposite. God makes no promises that in this life, Christians will be rich or healthy or find happiness in anything other than Him. In fact, the Bible teaches that we're going to follow Christ in His sufferings, for once we suffer with Him, we are able to be raised with Him. The promises of Christianity are promises for an eternal kingdom, not promises for this earth. Now, we do know that our God will never leave us nor forsake us. We know that our God will provide for us. He will give our daily bread. But we know nothing about how much bread will be given. And in fact, to presume on any of these things is downright sinful. But the question was how to respond to someone who has been brought into this prosperity gospel. And the answer is graciously. As with anyone who's fallen into theological error, we need to recognize that but for the grace of God, there go I. One place to begin with the prosperity gospel is by asking people if it aligns with their experience. As they think about Christians that they know, people of devout and sincere faith, are they always rich and healthy and happy? Have they never known a strong, believing Christian who's had cancer or some other disease or difficulty in their life? Do they really think that all Christians are supposed to be rich? And if they do think so, where in the Bible does it teach that? No matter what the theological error is, we always go to the Bible to find the truth. And the Bible teaches us about denying self and some of those pleasures to a future time. So whether it's this error or any other theological error, the answer is we go back to the Bible and see what Christ says rather than what we think.
Thanks, Paul, for tackling some tough questions today. And if you have a question you would like Pastor Paul to answer on a future Friday Q&A broadcast, there are several ways you can get them to us. Our voicemail box number is toll-free 855-855-WORD. That's 855-855-WORD. Or you can send an email to paul@soundwordsradio.com. That's paul@soundwordsradio.com. Or you can mail your question to Sound Words, P.O. Box 30321, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27130. We'll be back next Friday to answer some more, and we'd like to invite you to join us Monday afternoon at this same time for more teaching from God's Word. Until then, for Paul Molnar, I'm Tom Booth. Have a blessed weekend and Lord's Day, and we invite you to come worship with us at Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church, 508 Harvey Street, one block off Stratford Road in Winston-Salem. Our morning service begins at 10:30. You've been listening to Sound Words with Paul Molnar, pastor of Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Sound Words is a ministry of Covenant of Grace, and these daily broadcasts are made possible by the prayers and financial gifts of our listeners. Visit us online at soundwordsradio.com. Check out our show notes and find links to helpful resources related to our broadcasts. And there's information about supporting this radio ministry with your tax-deductible gifts. In exchange for your gift of any amount this month, we'd like to send you a pair of books from the Basics of the Reformed Faith series. Our web address again is soundwordsradio.com. And again, we'd love to have you come worship with us this week. Covenant of Grace is located at 508 Harvey Street in Winston-Salem. Our Sunday morning service begins at 10:30. Hope you'll join us again on Monday as Paul begins a new study titled The Faith That Saves. Until then, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.